God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the fourth day of January 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast, the long-awaited building dedication service of our new facility in Ponca City. Special music and testimonies too numerous to detail, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, A Life Dedicated to God. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Just a heart. This will be the only time you'll hear me say that I miss the pumpkin. I can see every one of you. As Pastor said, my name is Mayra Ware. I'm married to Adam Ware. I think he's over in the overflow room. We joined Central Baptist in 2005. Each of our Christian lives begins with a decision, an awakening, a newness of mind. For some, this process is nearly instantaneous. For others, it's a journey lasting for weeks, months. For me, it took years. I was saved at the tender age of 10. Growing up, I never questioned the obvious beliefs we held. I believed because that is what we believed. Many years and many stumbles later, I found myself in a whole new place and unsure what to believe, and having no understanding why I believed any of it to begin with. Simply put, I was confused and feeling utterly alone. It was at this moment that the Lord chose to show me His comfort, His grace, His forgiveness, and His will. By the time the new revelation happened, I was married to a wonderfully newly saved man, and we had a daughter. She, Hannah, was our motivation to do things right with her. When I say do things right, I mean we wanted her to always understand that our lives were directed by thus say the word of God. We didn't want her raising to be one of the latest fads in child psychology or what our parents did with us. We wanted it to be right in God's eyes and no one else's. This began our search for a place of teaching, a place of truth, a place for family. Our prayer from the beginning was that the Lord would lead us to His choice and that it would be not our decision, but His. His leading put us here at Central Baptist Church. Now, there were a lot of spiritual spankings in those first few years at CBC, but it only drew us closer to God and closer to this congregation that we now call our God-chosen family. We all have family, but there's just something so comforting about this one. I've told Adam on several occasions that it makes me feel badly because we come here to feel comfortable, not to our own families. However, why wouldn't we? The people here love us the way that Christ loved us. People here pray for us and know that we pray for them. People hold dearly the same beliefs that we hold, and people who struggle with the same things each day surround us. This is truly how God intended family to be. Shortly after our transition from the old church building to the Ponkin in late 2006, Revelation 21, 1 and 4 showed me a nugget of God's love for all those around me and me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And God shall wipe away tears, all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. These two verses have become my favorite life verses because it made me realize in any situation, in any problem, this too shall pass. I carried that with me through the last 2.5 years and shared it with countless others. It's also very helpful to a mother of 2 young children to claim, this too shall pass. This church family has helped me on God's journey for me. The Lord has given me an unquenchable thirst for knowledge and a pastoral staff ready and willing to teach me and guide me. We are truly blessed by our pastor, the staff, and for me, their wives. Their examples, their endurance through trials, and their willingness to commit time and prayer to each one of us in this congregation inspires me daily to walk closer with Him. Christ is my Savior, my brother, my comforter, my provider. And I could spend hours showing you how CBC has shown these same qualities to my family and me. However, the blessings in the life of my family are proof positive. My best friends are here. My prayer partners are here. My teachers are here. My family is here. But most importantly, the Spirit of God is here.
The preacher gave the altar call. Choir sing, I surrender all. I walk the aisle, repenting of my sins. Kneeling on that sawdust floor, right there is where I met the Lord. Glory filled my soul when I was born again. Oh, I've
never gotten over getting saved. No, I've never gotten over being under God's grace. I can't help but get excited.
meeting way.
No,
I've never gotten over getting saved.
It's just as real to me right now as when my world turned upside down. Forever there's an imprint on my life. I will never be the same. I'm still amazed how it all changed the moment I got saved on that revival night. Oh, I've
never gotten over getting saved. No, I've never gotten over being under God's grace. I can't help but get excited in that old care-meaning way. Never gotten over getting saved.
No, I've
never gotten over getting saved. No, I've never gotten over being under God's grace. I can't help but get excited in that old camping way.
Old camping way.
Never gotten over getting saved.
Didn't have to open the eyes of the blind to prove he was Lord, and he knew they'd still doubt him if he fed 5,000 with a lunch of one little boy. To cleanse every leper wouldn't settle forever the fact God had come down. There'd be only one proof he was telling the truth when his body was laid in the ground.
He had to rise
to show he was holy,
to show he was God.
He had to rise. I'd be forever bound by the chains of evil and my strife. And if he had not risen, well, there'd be no hope for heaven and no chance for eternal life. But since he from a dark, lonely tomb, the brightest sun I broke through, when my Savior came walking he had to run.
Go ahead and stand as we give honor to God's word. Reading from Nehemiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 27, the Bible says this: "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain of the country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages, and also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaphoth. And the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And it says the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. And it goes on to explain the different people that began to come from verses 31 on down to probably about verse 40, 42, and so forth. But I'd like to pick it up from verse 43. And the Bible says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasures for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the word of their God, and the word of purification, according to the commandment of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers, and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, for the words have already been spoken. And now, Lord, as we spend just a little bit of time continuing in your word this morning, Lord, we come to that all-important part, Lord, where your word goes forth. And it is preached, Lord, in this brand new facility, which it shall be done each and every week as you allow. And Lord, we pray that it would reach down to the hearts of your people. And Lord, that it would do the work that only it can do. And Lord, today would be a wonderful day of dedication, not only of stone, Lord, but it will be a dedication of our hearts as well. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Those of you that know me understand that I like the Olympics. We just celebrated the Summer Olympics, and I've got to tell you, that was the best I think I've ever seen as far as opening, closing ceremonies. I mean, if you had a chance to see that, you want to talk about some work going into something. It was amazing. The facilities that were built, just the opening and the closing. I mean, the drummers, the pyrotechs, you got to like fire. Come on. You know, all the fireworks. I mean, the singers, the dancers, the arts. I mean, the lights. I mean, I literally sat there in awe. And I'm watching this take place going, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, what is next? Now, if you're expecting that today, you're out of luck. Nobody's coming down. There's no big ball or anything. But I thought about that, and I thought about all the time put in and all the festivities. And China wanted to make a statement, and they wanted to let the world know, hey, we have arrived, and we planned something special for this world event. And it was amazing. There's no debate about it. And it was amazing to watch, and it was wonderful to watch. And I got into all the events and enjoyed watching all those events. But I'm going to tell you something. As I thought about that, and I thought about all that went into it, all the money and the time and the building and so forth. And I looked at that and said, what an amazing days that would have been. And how amazing it would have been to be there to experience that. Let me tell you something. It's not more amazing than what's happening today. And I'll tell you why. Because today, we're not dedicating a facility that's going to be used for sports, something that is temporal that will be forgotten. Today's a day dedicated to Almighty God. And it may not have all the flash of human creativity, all the spark of the music and all the fireworks, and as amazing that is, today we come in spirit and in truth. Today we come to ask for the presence of Almighty God, not just for today, but forever to abide in this place. It is a special day, and we're glad that you're here. And whether you see it that way or not, I let you know that's how we see it. That's how wonderful it is for us to be here. That's why I chose Nehemiah chapter 12, because I believe as they dedicated not a specific building, but a wall, the symbolism of it was very special. Over 3 years ago, we began a series in Nehemiah. We preached for about 6 months in the book of Nehemiah. And then we went into, of course, the Pumpkin Theater. And now we're here, and I thought it would be appropriate to go back to that book that we spent so much time in, challenging ourselves to rise up and build, and come to when they'd finally finished. Chapter 12, they finished. They put all the work, all the time, all the trials, all they've been through, those who opposed it, those who fought it, those who were against it, all the issues that came up, they had overcome. The wall was finally up. They could now once again say, hey, God could abide in this place. The temple began to be cleansed. The temple began to be used once again. And the spirit of the people began to rejoice. as they realized it wasn't so much just the wall, it was what the wall symbolized. Now, it was just some brick and some mortar. And to tell you the truth, if you go back in history, it wasn't even a pretty wall, okay? I mean, these were amateurs that were put together, putting up the wall the best that they could. But they took all this rubble and they put it up in an amateur way, but they were so excited. And if you get into the story, you find out half the people gathered and they went up one side of the wall, and the other half of the people gathered, they went up the other side of the wall, and they began to go up and walk along the top of the wall, singing praises unto Almighty God. And all the priests and all the singers and all the porters and all the people began to gather. For one of the first times, they were gathering once again after all the destruction and all the depression and all the worship of God had basically kind of gone on the wayside. And for one of the first times, there was excitement once again. I mean, it was amazing. I broke down the elements because I thought it was important. I broke down what they did. First of all, they sang. And man, did they sing. Verse 27 says, they brought the psalteries and they brought the singers together and they lift up the voice. I want to tell you something. When you dedicate something to God, the reason we sang the songs and our choir sang and the quartet sang and the trio and you sang was for this reason. It wasn't so the person next to you could say, woo, man, they sing good. Because if you were next to me, that's not what they would have been saying. Okay? It was so people could say, wow, I'm lifting up my voice to Almighty God. It was a way to praise God. I want you to know something. You and I glorify God when we sing to Him, whether you can sing or not. But there wasn't just a singing. I wrote down there was a shouting. Man, I like, look at verse 27. It says, and they came in the middle to keep the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. And look at verse 43. And also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoice. God had made them rejoice with great joy, even the wives. I mean, that's important. I mean, even the women were happy. That's a good thing, trust me. Also, the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem, look at this, was heard even afar off. Now, listen, I realize you could hear from a long ways when people are standing in the wall singing, but the connotation is not just that day did they hear, but the fact that people began to be so excited as they went about their business, everybody heard about the excitement of Jerusalem. There was shouting. You know, it's okay to get excited in God's house. I know we're Baptists, praise God. I'm glad to be a Baptist, and I don't want you rolling over the pews and hanging from anything, you know, praise God. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you can get excited. We go to ball games and go, woohoo! Sometimes we come to God's house and we hear something great, like somebody getting saved, their life being changed, and we go, bravo, that is so exciting. I just love this place. It's okay to go, woohoo! Praise God! You know, somebody takes a little pigskin and crosses a line and we get ecstatic, you know. Somebody hits a home run, we're like, oh, our life is just so great. Man, I tell you what's great is when somebody gets right with God. I tell you, this is a place where shouting ought to take place and joy. And there ought to be such joy coming out of this place that all of Ponca City and Newkirk and Blackwell and Tocqueville and Scheidler and Fairfax and all around say, something's happening in God's house. We ought to leave this place, and I'm not talking about entertainment. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're not here to make people, you know, tap their toes and feel good. We're here to have people be introduced to the Spirit of God. And a genuine thing would take place that isn't manipulated by man, that isn't orchestrated by man. But I mean the Spirit of God comes inside because of the Word of God, and people walk out saying, God is great because He is. That's what we want at Central Baptist Church. And not just one day, not just a dedication day, but every day that we can leave this place saying, we met with God. We met with God. Verse 43 says there were sacrifices, great sacrifices. I won't go all the way into that, but the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, became the final sacrifice. By the way, praise God for that. Final sacrifice for our sins. The Old Testament, they would sacrifice sins, and it wasn't for forgiveness of sins, but it was to cover their sins. It was by faith, understanding the Messiah would one day come and be the final sacrifice. So they would make these sacrifices, and it showed their faith in what God had said. And so here the Bible says they had great sacrifices. I mean, it wasn't just a little bit, it was great. I always recall the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 24, when David had to make some sacrifices. And I remember that there was this plot of land that God said, this is where you're going to sacrifice. I remember him going to that man, and that man said, let me give it to you, David. And David said, no. And I've always enjoyed that because of what he said afterwards. He said, I will not give God anything that does not cost me something. You know when it's special, when you're really giving a sacrifice, doesn't it cost you? You bet. Gentlemen, have you ever taken your wife to like a banquet? Maybe a school gathering? You know, in our mind, you know what we call that? A date. Hey, really. I love it when there's banquets and stuff. And I say, honey, you want to go to this banquet? Or you want to go to the school function or whatever it is? And she goes, sure, I'd love to. And you go and you say, wasn't that neat? We had a date. You ever notice her response? That was not a date. No, honestly, honey, yeah. I mean, the kids, they were given an award tonight. You know, it's a baseball banquet. It's a date. You know, we had a night out. No, it wasn't. You know why it wasn't a date? Didn't cost you anything. Yeah, gentlemen, when someone sends flowers to your office and they've sat there for 3 days, and you go to the secretary who doesn't want them anymore and say, can I have them? And you take them to your wife, it's not a sacrifice. It's not a gift. I've tried to re-gift my wife. It doesn't work. And if someone gives me something I don't want, honey, you want it? I give this to you. She'll go, thank you. That always means cheapo. See, to me, I think it's cool, but for women, oh, no. I mean, it's got to cost you. You got to take time out. Money's coming out of the checkbook. It's got to cost you. And then she goes, now that's a date. If you're married, you understand that. If not, hang on, you will. You'll get it soon. In a similar way, you know what? When we come to dedicate to God, it ought to cost us some time, some energy. It ought to come saying, God, I'm dedicating this time to you, and I'm giving to you because why? You are such a great God. They came that day with great singing. They came with great shouting, great gladness in the Lord. They came with great sacrifice. They said, this is unto God. They came with sanctification in verse 47. They began to take the instruments, the Bible says, at the end of verse 47. It says, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites. And the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. And they took these instruments that would be used in the temple to worship God. And they cleansed them. And they took them aside. They said, listen, these will only be used for the worship of God. And they set it apart as just a special thing unto God. That's really what we're doing today. We're dedicating this auditorium, this worship center, this building as a place where we will come and learn about God. We will praise his name. We will sing unto him. We will shout unto him. This is what it's all about. It will not be a place of just for temporal things. It will not be a place just for shows and entertainment. No, this is a holy place unto Almighty God. And we will come with one spirit and one heart, and we will lift up our voices to God, and we will walk into these doors. It will be known as a house of prayer. It will be known as a place where the Spirit of God reigns. And we want you, when you walk in, not just to see, but to literally feel the presence of God. We have men that pray and ask God's Spirit to be here every single service. They gather and say, oh God, meet with us. And I'm telling you, we had a prayer meeting last night, and this was our goal. We have planned like you cannot believe. And I told everybody, listen, as much as we're planning, something will go wrong. I do a lot of weddings, and I tell everybody that I marry, something will go wrong. Trust me, I don't care how much you plan. You know, somebody gets the tuxedo, you know, and they walk in, and it's up to their knees, you know. And they kind of smile and go, sorry. You know, something happens. Somebody forgets the rings. You know, somebody loses something. I mean, it always happens. That's just the way it is. No matter how much you plan, I say, you know what? Something will probably go wrong, and if it does, I'm not telling you what it is. But you know what? I tell you, the greatest thing that could go wrong today, the greatest thing that could go wrong, not that we don't have enough parking or didn't have enough chairs, and we set up the gym, there's people over there as well, and not any of that. To me, the greatest problem that we would have today is this. If we did all this work, all this building, all this planning, and God didn't show up. I tell you, if God doesn't show up, we have failed. We have failed. And I don't believe just today, but I'm going to be honest with you. At Central Baptist Church, we don't believe in just doing church. I don't believe in just doing church, having something to do. I believe every time when we show up, we ask, oh God, please show up. Oh, I believe you ought to walk out of service and know if God's there or not. I really do. I believe you ought to walk out and say, man, praise God, God showed up and God did something in my heart and began to really move in my life. And I was changed or encouraged or convicted. That's why some people don't go to church, don't want to be convicted. But man, you need that. I was convicted and God began to move in my life. And man, we met with God. I don't care if you remember nothing else. You ought to walk out and say, we met with God. But dare it be that we show up and we just sing and we have a message from the pastor and we do our thing and we walk out and someone says, what was church like? I don't know. We blew it. We blew it. We're here to meet with God. So they sanctified the building. They said, we want to meet with God. But then the most important part, look at verse 47. And we're not going to go in to chapter 13, but I will explain a little bit to you. It says, in all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and of the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things on the Levites. Now look at that. And all of Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. Now wait a minute. We're talking about a one-day dedication. We're talking about half of the company walking up this side of the wall, going to the dung gate, as it's called. And this other half going to the tower gate and meeting and lifting their voices to God. And great sacrifices being made. And great rejoicing being made. And isn't it just a one-time event? No. Did you not read what they said? From that day forward, from the days of Zerubbabel to Nehemiah, every single day, the singers were reinstated, because up until that time, they had quit using singers to praise God. The porters who took care of the things of God weren't working anymore because people weren't interested in worshiping God. They brought them all back to place. They reinstituted not just the wall, they reinstituted a spiritual renewal. A brand new day took place that continued all the way through the reign of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. And it wasn't just a wall protecting the city, but now they realized God's presence is with us. And they didn't want to lose it. And they said, so every day we will have somebody praising God. And every day we will have somebody waiting in the house of God. And every day we will be thinking about and saying, how can we get closer to God? It wasn't a one-time event. It was a continuing event. And I tell you today, as we dedicate the house of the Lord, let me help you with that. We're not dedicating this as one day, saying, woo, one big hurrah and we're done. No. This is the beginning of the rest of our service to God. And until the day Jesus Christ comes back or we pass away, we plan on dedicating this building, this property, this place, to always be a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught, where people are saved, baptized, and trained forever. Why? For Almighty God. It is time that we have what I'm going to call a spiritual renewal. Turn with me, if you would, real quick to the book of 1 Peter. I'd like to show you one other verse here. 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe Peter helps us to understand the real dedication that we need to be looking at today. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 8, just four verses here. Listen to what he says here in 1 Peter 2, 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones. Now listen, look at this. Are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But praise God, we're a chosen generation. Amen. You know what Peter was saying here? I think Peter put it in the exact words that I'd like to say. Today, we're not just dedicating these walls and the stones on the outside and the metal and the steel. No, we're dedicating living stones. Well, what do you mean living stones? Those walls don't talk. Those stones don't move. They don't, but you do. You see, this is not Central Baptist Church, this building. This is a place where we meet. This is a place dedicated to God. Allow me to tell you what the real church is. You. The Bible says you and I are the church. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, that's who the church is. That's what Peter's saying. Today we have a spiritual sacrifice, a spiritual renewal. It is living stones, lively stones, alive for God. It is that what God wants. God does not want us just to come and say, praise be to the building. God wants us to come and say, God, it's not just the building that we're dedicating, but the reality is this. Today we dedicate ourselves unto God. Well, preacher, how do you dedicate yourself unto God? It's very simple. I believe we need a spiritual renewal in these ways. Number one, you cannot be dedicated unto God unless you possess the Spirit of God. Brother Mark gave a wonderful presentation on what salvation is all about. And let me just help you here today, folks. Central Baptist Church is about preaching what's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is of a necessity that everybody here that can hear my voice and has understanding inside of them has come to a point in their life where they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me tell you one of the great dangers in our society today. It seems that everybody believes in Jesus, and yet they do not. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, everybody today, 70% of Americans, if you go into Ponca City and knock on all the doors, 70% would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But let me help you with that. Just believing in Jesus doesn't take you to heaven. That's exactly right. Everybody believes in Jesus. Well, just because you believe he existed, it's a historical fact he existed. I told you last week, our calendar is based upon him. There is no debate. Jesus existed. That is not the salvation we're talking about. Just knowing he existed, just praising his name, just singing songs to him, just going to church as the Apostle Paul did. Who else was better than the Apostle Paul at being a religious man? And yet until he stopped on that road to Damascus, and instead of just being religious and knowing about God and believing in God, with his heart put his faith in that God, at that point he became saved. Too many today are going around with what I call a false profession. They go around thinking they're going to heaven because they joined a church, were baptized, they give some money to a local church. They think, man, I'm going to make it. No, you must have a time in your life when you were born again. Born again. And when that comes, I'm telling you, it's a precious time. I was 11 years old when that happened. Remember it very clear. I can't tell you the exact day, but I remember the event so clear because I knew what I was doing. It wasn't just some other spiritual event for me. I realized that day that I needed God in my life. I'd always believed in God like everybody else. Knew God existed, went to church, but I wasn't going to heaven. I wasn't born again until I stopped and said, I want Jesus in my life. Listen, if you've never done that, I want to challenge you. Why not start the new year? Why not start a new life with Jesus Christ? Secondly, spiritual dedication. Spiritual renewal comes this way. Many of you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. But like the time of Nehemiah, here were believers who were working and serving and doing their thing, but not in the house of God and not for God. They knew a lot about God. They understood a lot about God, but they had abandoned that worship of God. They had abandoned that working for God. And in that, they came to a point in this day, great rejoicing and gladness took place. And as we read in verse 47 back in Nehemiah chapter 12, from that day forward, they said, we're getting back to the Word of God. If you go to chapter 13 and could read through it, you would see all these people restoring back to God. They were already believers in God, but they had gotten away from God in a place that we call maybe backslidden. They'd walked away from God and were no longer serving God the way that they should. And all of a sudden it dawned to them, wait a minute, we got the wall up, we got the priests, the Levites. Shouldn't we be getting into the Word of God? As a matter of fact, if you go to chapter, oh, it's beautiful in chapter 13. They begin reading the Word of God. People begin crying. I mean, people begin really mourning, realizing, wait a minute, we thought we were doing everything right. And now as we get into the book, we've been doing a lot wrong. And Nehemiah came and said, hey, but why not start now? Why not start now? And great joy began to come upon them as people repented and started turning back to God. Hey, you may be here today and you say, preacher, I'm already saved. Man, I accepted Jesus. I know I'm saved. Everything's fine. Listen, everything's fine with me. I know God and I love God and I could tell you when I was saved. But hey, wait a minute. Are you submitted to him? Is your life so dedicated to him? So dedicated to him that people look at you and say, wow, now that's a person who loves God. That's a person. I spoke at a winter retreat this last week. I spoke to a group of teenagers. And one of the things I tried to emphasize to them was this. It's not so much that you are excited about being a Christian. Now, don't miss this. It's not so much that you know that you're a Christian. But I want to ask you, does your lifestyle, is it so evident to other people that they know that you're a Christian? They ought to. You say, well, I don't know, preacher. I mean, I know it in my heart, but I don't know if other people know I'm a Christian. Maybe it's because you need to rededicate yourself to once again being dedicated to God. And once again, submitting to this book and this word. And then I thought, spiritual renewal. You know, if you look at all of chapter 12, they had reinstituted their service to God. The porters, those who waited in the church, the singers, the Levites, the priests who opened up the Word of God and presented the Word of God. Everybody came back and began once again picking up their service. I heard this quote and I thought it was interesting. There are basically three important days in your life. The day that you were born, the day that you were born again, and the day that you realized what your purpose was. There really are. The day that you're born, pretty important. You don't have that, you don't exist. You know, I'm looking out, all of you have that one in case you're wondering. If you're just going, do I have number one? You do. Number two is born again though, the day you accept Jesus Christ. But I'm gonna tell you the third important day in life, you ready? The day you realize what God's purpose is for you and you begin serving him the way you should. I'm telling you, some of you are out there and you're born and you're born again, you're saved, but life is just kind of empty for you and you have some religious background, but you're not doing anything really for God. Let me tell you something. You need to get busy serving God. I was reading a story about this doctor. He lives out in Connecticut. He came upon really probably the worst wreck ever in Connecticut a few years back. He happened to be a surgeon. He was on his way actually to give a lecture. And as he saw this wreck, a truck had, you know, kind of went sideways and created a big jam. Actually, that day, if I'm not mistaken, four people died. He was able to help about 16 people. So he stopped, just kind of helped bandage them up as ambulances were coming. But then when they asked him why he stopped, this was his response. He said, somebody with my abilities, somebody with my skills it would be a shame for me not to use them when they were needed. Yeah, it's very simple, very obvious. I mean, if you have a skill in some area, you ought to use it. He says, I'm a doctor. There's a wreck. People are bleeding. People are dying. I can help them. Do I drive on to my lecture? Well, of course not. You have something to offer. You should stop. Matter of fact, if we heard the reverse story, if we heard later on, he was on the news saying, yeah, I had a lecture and I kind of took a side. I saw people bleeding. But you know, hey, it's their fault. They were in the road. You know, hey, should have been driving that day. Hey, should have paid more attention. Hey, I had a lecture to do. I had something to do. I had to go. If you heard that story, you know what your response would be? Wicked. Some of you would say, hey, take him, beat him, throw him in jail. Make him get in a car wreck. All these horrible thoughts would come because why would not a doctor stop to help people in need? That's what he's gifted to do. That's what he does. And I thought about that and I said, you know what? Have we not been gifted by Jesus Christ as believers for spiritual things? Let me help you with this. It does us no good to dedicate a building to God if we as people are not dedicated to God. Spiritual renewal includes, once again, serving God. I want to ask you, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? And I'm going to talk about just coming to church. That's everybody's duty as a believer. I go to church, preacher, give a little money, get involved. No. I'm talking about how are you serving? What ministry are you involved in? What are you doing in the community to tell people about God, to help people see Jesus in you? What are you doing in the church? What are you doing in your surrounding? Where are you serving God? Every born-again believer has been equipped, according to 1 Corinthians 12, with spiritual gifts and should be using them for God. And today, I think it would be negligent if we say, God, this building is for you, and here we're going to worship you, and yet we did not get up and say, God, I am dedicating or rededicating myself to you as well. And I'm going to start submitting to this book, and I'm going to start serving you. And from this day forward, starting in 2009, it's not just going to be about a building. It's going to be about me being a living stone for God. That's what it's all about. Because, folks, we have enough people that are spectators. We have enough people sitting watching Christianity take place. But I'm here to tell you, what we need is a whole bunch of people actively involved saying, you know what? I'm going to do something. You say, what are you saying? Well, kind of like that doctor that was driving down the road. Every time you drive in Ponca City, Blackwell, Newkirk, there's a whole bunch of wrecks taking place all around you. And it's not physical wrecks, it's spiritual wrecks. And I'm going to help you with this. All of Ponca City, Blackwell, Tonkawa, Newkirk is not saved. Everybody you run into does not know Jesus Christ. They may know his name, they know about God, but let me help you, they don't know him. And let's just be honest, aren't most of us running around and we see them and we're so busy with our schedules, including myself, don't we often just run by them going, hey, good to see you, Brother Mark, see ya. And there he is sitting there a wreck, spiritually bleeding. And we don't stop to say, hey, can I talk to you about God? Can I talk to you about God? Man, wouldn't it be neat if a whole bunch of people got excited and said, I want to dedicate myself to spending my life serving God and doing everything that I can to help other people find God. Now that would be a dedication. This morning is pretty simple. The singing was great. The shouting was great. Man, I can't imagine the music back then on that day. I can't imagine being there. The exciting thing for me is they probably would have let me sing. Yes, they would have. All those people on the wall would have been great. No one could hear me. All the people serving, it was an exciting day. But I got to tell you, the most exciting thing to me was not that a wall that was patched together with amateurs, but the exciting thing to me was that from that day on, while Zerubbabel and Nehemiah reigned, the whole city served God. And there was a spiritual renewal. And today I call out to you for something very special. I call out to you for a spiritual renewal in your life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, may today be the day that you finally put your faith where it belongs. If you're here today and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, but you know you are backslidden, you're not serving him the way that you should, today would be a good day to resubmit to God. And today if you're here and you love God and you're submitted to him, but really, you're just kind of going through the motions today. Wouldn't today be a good day to once again find out where your place of service is and dedicate your life to serving God the way that we should? We call for you to do that today because we're not dedicating a building. We're dedicating ourselves. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, Lord, and we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your provisions. Lord, we thank you for the book of Nehemiah. Lord, as we travel throughout it and we look at each individual verse, Lord, we would see not just an excitement of a building project completed, But Lord, the reality was of a spiritual renewal that took place because of it. Lord, it's our heart's desire that this building would spark a spiritual renewal in our communities around us. That, Lord, it would make people once again think about you in a new and a special way. We get back to the book, to the Word of God. We get back to dedicating and committing ourselves to you, to your kingdom, to your lifestyle. And Lord, may this be the day we start a brand new year, Lord, in a brand new building. May we also start with brand new lives. I pray, Lord, you'd move your spirit as only you can in the hearts of the people that are here. May we not be embarrassed. May we not be ashamed. But Lord, may we come and dedicate our lives as living stones for you. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by and see us at the corner of Highway 77 and Coleman Road, just north of Ponca City. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.